It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's going on, Iketagon people, fight fans, fight fam? You like fight fans or fight fam? I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Another excellent episode. Andrew Benjamin of the At We Are Rising Pod, and Issa and Mo Sultan, Brooklyn boys, born and raised, Long Island, trained at Mutant MMA. Great episode. Cover a lot in this. Talk Comic-Con, fights, of course, energy, overcoming bullying. Amazing episode. I enjoyed it. I'm back. I think it's season 5 of the Iketagon. We are here doing our thing. Enjoy the episode. What's up, fine fight fans? I always try to add as much alliteration as possible, especially when I'm being joined by Andrew Breaking Benjamin at A Benja 1 or at A B E N J A 1 on Twitter and Instagram. He is the co-host of the At We Are Rising Pod. He's a martial artist. He's also covering this weekend's 2022 Comic-Con in the Javits Center. He is passing all of us the peons, the peasants. He's going to be there shaking hands with all the anime and comic characters. I'm very pumped to speak with Andrew Benjamin, who I had the pleasure of meeting at, it was a Rise Invitational 9 at the Space in Westbury a few weeks ago, maybe late August, maybe six weeks ago, something like that. But Andrew, I appreciate you for joining me. You are a very busy man. How you doing, brother?
Well, I have not heard Breaking Benjamin in maybe over a decade, maybe longer, because that is like high school era of that band. And I don't even know if they're even still a band at this point.
So cold.
I wasn't listening. I never, surprisingly though, no one ever made that, you know. So when I was a kid, I used to have really red hair. I got called Raggedy Andy by the other little bastards.
Not as cool as my nickname that I gave you.
And so like no one ever gave me that one. I was like, oh, okay, that would have made sense. What is it? I'm doing good. weather here in New York has been kind of crappy the last few days. Unfortunately, one of my shoes got ruined. You step in the puddle and then suddenly your shoe comes apart. I got Comic-Con, just covering that for some different publications. Oh, always covering Ryzen because there's always something, or JMMA because there's always something in JMMA going on. Usually not that good. That's basically my entirely busy life. I have no idea how I got into this thing, and yet I still somehow am consumed by this entire industry.
And luckily for us, because you are one of the most fluent conversers, if that's even a word, people who, I don't know, interact in conversation, my man, it was a pleasure to speak with you. If we recorded that would have been a hit podcast, some pilot we could have sold out. It was just a fantastic conversation. Maybe if we have the Lavier mics or whatever they're called, we could have do it in the future. But yeah, man, I totally enjoyed that. This is many weeks in the making, but again, I appreciate your time. You are modest, and that above all stands out to me. I think it's because of your martial arts background. Can you talk about that? How long have you been training? Where do you train? Why do you train? And what does it do for your life in a positive way?
I first started in 2010 at Sarah BJJ out on Long Island.
Okay.
At their old school, in Levittrash or Levittown. As you're from Long Island, right? Yeah, you said you're from Long Island, right?
Yep.
You call Levitt trash, right? I'm not the only one. That's what everybody outside Levitt Town calls it, Levitt trash, because it's a trashy place. So I got into it because, well, one day I visited the doctor and he said, Andrew, you're a fat ass. You need to lose some weight. Not exactly like that, but kind of close. I was 210 pounds at my heaviest.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, so what do I got to do besides obviously stop drinking Gatorade and Monster Energy at night and eating chicken fingers at night. So, what was it? So there was a security guard there who I always talked to. He hated the fact that I was a wrestling fan. He thought that wrestling, like pro wrestling, was the dumbest thing ever. And so he says, Andrew, you got to stop watching this wrestling stuff. It's really dumb and really stupid. You got to watch this stuff, UFC. He handed me like UFC, whatever. I'm talking like old stuff that had like Evan Tanner and Tito Ortiz and Randy Couture. Like that's like that era. Yeah, I was like watching stuff. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. This is really cool. This is really cool. And when I graduated, I just, I was like, okay, you know what? Let me try this MMA thing. And I didn't know about the whole, I thought MMA was a sport. I didn't know that there's all this other stuff that's like, that are, so like jujitsu and kickboxing, yada, 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 yada. So I was like, they do jujitsu and kickboxing and wrestling. So which one do you like the most? And I was like, oh, I don't want to spend money on like gloves or anything. So I was just like, oh, I'll just buy the gi, whatever. And then that should be good. That should be good. So that, and then, what was it? Pandemic happened. That school closed down, or there's the other school that they have is all the way out. Like where I live now in New York City would be maybe like a 2-hour drive there and back. I could watch a Lord of the Rings movie like to and back, like in full. So I was like, I can't do that anymore. Found out that 10th Planet New York City was still operating. And then a friend of mine got me in, and yes, I'm with them now, and have now lost, well, since then, 60, hold on, I can't do math, about 60 pounds, 60-ish pounds. Since starting my MMA journey. And yeah, I think you had one more question about why I do it or what it brings me.
Yeah. What positive reaction do you get from your training?
Well,
besides losing the weight.
Oh, okay. I'm going to sound like John Danaher, you know, where I'm going to give like a TED talk on like whatever, but it's like, it's, the thing that I enjoy most about, I'll just not even say MMA, any sort of combat sport, is that it's just down to you and someone else. Very few other sports really do that. You have like chess, if you consider that a sport. For the most part, it's just you versus somebody else. And, you know, other sports are team-based, baseball, football, volleyball, swimming, even swimming, if you're even swimming solo, you're going up against about 6, 7, 8, 9 other people. But in martial art, MMA, jiu-jitsu, boxing, whatever, with the exception of a few things, it's always one-on-one. And it's kind of like it's taking all the knowledge and everything that you have learned up to this point and applying it. And if your coach is there, you know, off to the side yelling at you and all that stuff, if they're doing that, you know, it still comes down to you. And usually if you lose, it's because ideally it's because the other person was just better that day. But if you win, it was just because you were better that day. And you know what? Tomorrow, it could be 99 times if you meet that opponent, it could be go entirely different. And it's like human chess. That's what it is. It's kind of like human chess, and we're both kings trying to checkmate the other. That's what I like about it. Also just mentally gets you just like going and stronger, and it really tests your inner self, and that, you know, is can I go further? Can I go further? Can I learn more? Can I Why can I be in this hold even longer and not submit or not get choked out or not get my arm broken? It's a good way. It's a good way to mentally and physically build you up. That's what I love about it.
Love it. 100% love it. Again, we're being joined by Andrew Benjamin at @ABENJA1 on Twitter and Instagram, co-host of the @WeAreRisingPod, martial artist, as you guys just beautifully heard. Andrew, that was lovely. Do you believe? No, you got to be happy that you got in like me pre Conor McGregor era, and it's just, it's so cool. It just tastes even juicier, the fact that we saw the plight of Conor from maybe it's 2013 or 2014, and then the 15, 16, 17, and then the Khabib. But it's just like, it reached ESPN, man. It reached Fox from the time that we've been watching it over a decade. And it's pretty incredible. Do you believe that mixed martial arts on the world stage in terms of viewership has plateaued, or can it get bigger?
When you say, also, can you clarify, do you mean UFC or just the entire MMA sphere?
Entire MMA sphere.
Okay.
I made a Jewish there, two Jews. I said sphere.
Schwartz? The Schwartz? Okay. I don't think it's plateaued, but the problem is that someone like Conor comes along maybe once in a millennia. And right now, like, despite the fact that he hasn't fought, what was it, since, I think it's 2 years? How long has the Poirier fight been?
Last July, maybe 15 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he's still somehow the most popular fighter in UFC, despite not fighting on a consistent basis, which is, you know, that's good on him. The problem I see is that I don't see a future where, like, I don't see Sean O'Malley being like a Conor McGregor type. Francis Ngannou, I don't see like being a Conor McGregor type as well. So the problem is that I feel like someone like Conor brings in above the plateau, which is great. But then when it's not a Conor thing, suddenly, like, you know, here's like a good example, that the Nate Diaz Ferguson fight. Do you know how many buys it got? I think it cracked about a million, I think, right?
You would hope, at least.
I think. I don't know. I if you know the numbers, or, you know, but I know that there was a lot of hype behind it, because you kind of had an old school versus new school thing, where you had the old fight fans kind of seeing, you know, come in and, you know, seeing, you know, him take on a new school ish type of fighter in Tony Ferguson, which is great. But in terms of, like, yeah, I feel like right now it has plateaued, and that I feel like, well, I'm going to specifically pick on UFC. They don't have really any sort of motivation or necessity to, like, to grow bigger. I said they're on ESPN. I think ESPN is paying them, if I'm correct. That's always a dangerous situation, because if you already made your money, you don't really have to deliver. They just have to deliver. They have to deliver content. That dreaded C word. I hate so much. I hate that word a lot, because they just got to deliver whatever they need to on ESPN, and they're not beholden to any sort of masters or whatever. And that, unfortunately, is, I think, detrimental. You know, as opposed to like Ryzen, which just had a show and they made it available on DirecTV, Optimum Pay-Per-View, and all that stuff, and through Fight TV and all that. And so they're trying to expand, which I think is great, but I don't think that, you know. And then, I don't know, PFL ratings don't seem to be good. They're getting like six figures, and Bellator, I don't know how that works with a Showtime thing. So it's very much like, I feel like it is a plateau, where we occasionally will get those casual people coming in, and then it's mostly just us hardcores who are always tuning in no matter what. Like, I don't know. It's called the dad test, the grandma test, or the mom test. I could go to my dad and be like, hey, do you know Conor McGregor is? Yes. Okay. Do you know who Sean O'Malley is? And he'll be like, nope. Do you know who Aljamain Sterling? Well, actually, that's a bad example because he's from Long Island. So that might be, I'm trying to think. Oh, do you know who Amanda Nunes is? I sincerely doubt he knows who Amanda Nunes is. Do you know who Ronda Rousey is? Oh, yeah. So that's the problem, is that I feel like this MMA is not doing well in terms of developing a post-Connor star, if they even want to. That's how I see it. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm forever grateful for Connor for bringing the UFC to ESPN for more eyeballs and teenagers, kids to see, and just in a sense to spread martial arts. Yeah, no, it's Connor McGregor. You can't make him in a lab. They tried with Darren Till, with Brian Ortega. I'm happy that the quote unquote true martial artists, like the Hamzat, the Yeris, the Israel Adesanyas, the people who seem to not want to make a liquor company following a big fight or a money fight, fighters who want to stay fighting for at least a decade, like a career fighter in a sense. So those fighters are getting more attention. You would hope that it would be on ESPN, like we could do a colossal pay-per-view card on primetime ESPN. That'd be amazing. It pisses me off, the pay-per-view model. To be a fight fan is crazy. It's like $900, $1,000 if you just do UFC, but if you want to do DAZN or if you want to order other pay-per-views, it gets pretty expensive to be a fight fan. Pushing that to the side, that could be a little frustrating, but I am happy it is on the ESPN platform. Maybe it could be an Olympic sport. Ryzen, ONE, Bellator, PFL. They get that. Just they get their Conor McGregor. You never know. They get their guy. Who is it? Danny Sabatello? Who knows? And the cross promotion. I don't know if the UFC has a lot to lose there. So maybe it's slowed down. I don't think it's quite necessarily plateaued completely. Hopefully not. I'm hoping not, but it is. It's worldwide, man. I would hope that it could surpass a football or soccer worldwide. I think so. You know, you get Australia, Russia, Canada, South America, the UK, Africa. I think everybody could tune into a fight.
No, no, I think that's definitely possible. You know what? The thing that Ryzen is lucky to have is that since they are Japan based, they don't necessarily have to succeed internationally. They already have a fighter there who's already, I guess, you would consider their Conor McGregor. His name is Mikko Rautakura.
There you go.
And but like even relative to Conor, I would say that Conor is much more famous. But that's about that. That's semantics, but yeah, they have their own, and they have the luxury that, like, okay, if they don't want to expand here, they can at least be successful in Japan. There's a reason why UFC shows in Japan never do well. That they've always have bombed, and they've had the paper tickets. And then Bellator, when they did their whole thing in Japan with Japan, you know, they had to basically say it's a Bellator and Ryzen show to get off the Ryzen. Bellator will never Bellator itself can never make itself in Japan. You know, also explaining about the whole thing about being expensive to be a fight fan. Yeah, I own it. You know, I go to see it. If the card is interesting, I'll go see it in a theater, a UFC show. But like, I don't understand how people can be okay with paying. Is it $80 a pay-per-view now? Is that what it is?
Yeah, was it 90? Crazy.
And you know, that's a problem. That's the thing. If you're the market leader, you can decide how much you want, and most of the time people won't complain. You know, if you want to charge $500 for a PlayStation, people are going to be like, okay, sure. The PlayStation fans will always buy a PlayStation. If you love Corvettes, you'll always buy a Corvette. If you're a Corvette fan, no matter if it's $1 million or whatever. And that, you know, that's kind of an issue with the UFC fans, that they kind of just they don't really, it's, well, they're just stuck in their own ways. And it's like, oh, you know, okay, so I'll pay $80 for the pay-per-view and $9.99 for ESPN, or $19.99, I think it is, right? It's $19.99 a month, right?
$9.99. It used to be $4.99.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, $9.99 a month for ESPN Plus. And then, yeah, that's, you know. And oh, then there's the UFC Fight Pass as well, which is an additional $9.99. I forgot about that. So, yeah, and if you buy tickets to a UFC show, that's going to be no less than $200, you know, especially if it's a numbered show. So you got that. So, yeah, you know, it's, you know, if somebody has, if you have all that money to spend, I'm not going to tell you to stop, but like, you know, eventually bubbles like that burst. Bubbles do burst like that. And so I don't know when it will happen, but it will eventually happen, even if the UFC is a market leader.
A little too greedy, in my opinion. It's like, I understand that maybe there's a 6 to 12, 18 month turnover that they might take a hit in terms of profit. If it comes down to that, they want to be like the NFL where the commercials pay for everything. I think that'd be the way to get more viewership. If you put Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz free on ESPN, what does the Super Bowl get? 50, a 50 rating? I think that fight will get a 75. Like, I think it's a little insecure on the UFC's management part.
Well, also like I said before, UFC Ray made money. Here's another comparison. It's if you watch WWE, WWF, whatever you want to call it, they already get their TV deal money. That's good for however many years, and it's $100 billion or whatever it is. So, you know, if you already make your money, then you don't really, what is there to owe? You just deliver on what the contract owes. You know, nothing doesn't say has to be good shit. Just has to be stuff that you have to deliver on. And that's kind of where the UFC is at this point. I mean, you know, hey, you remember there used to be a time where, you know, a UFC show would happen. It would be like once a month or once every 2 months. And you'd be like, oh shit, I'm excited to see UFC. And then slowly the ESPN or the Fox deal happened, then the ESPN thing, and then there's a fight every week. And it's just like, yeah, you know, if the Fox thing kind of also collapsed upon itself, where they, you know, it was interesting how they tried to make like certain people, certain fighters just for like TV. Like, I think they tried to do that with Benson, with Bendo. They tried to relegate him to TV. And then when the Fight Pass, I think, came out, they were trying to like put Faber on the Fight Pass, like the main events of the Fight Pass. So it kind of made sense. I was like, okay, so they're trying to like make different divisions of this. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. But then like, I don't know when it happened, but like just suddenly like, you know, there's Mackenzie Dern versus whatever her name is. And I'm like, is that really a show that needs to be on anything? And I'm like, nope. Nobody cares about that. It's definitely an oversaturation, and you know, oversaturation, you know, like I said, the bubble burst. We're gonna see that with Marvel, you know, all those dumb Marvel shows that are on Disney Plus, you know, She-Hulk, those two, you know, that bubble.
She-Hulk, you know, is just getting beat up left and right. You're not the first person. Have you seen it at least before you're talking about it?
I watched some clips of it and I'm like, this is not for me. I can't watch this. This is not entertaining to me. This doesn't seem interesting at all.
It's better than Thor, Love and Thunder, then I would tune in.
I mean, you know, that is a good example, is that Thor, Love and Thunder basically wasn't a box office failure, but made less money than it should have at the box office. And so what happened was, yeah, you know, this is happening, you know, that's the Marvel bubbles, I think, going to burst soon. I think Star Wars will eventually happen. Well, they're not making movies of Star Wars so much. Totally forgot what we were talking about now. I just went on a rant about that.
Talking about, bubbles bursting. And,
okay, yeah. And I see you only have me for 8 more minutes or something?
Yes.
Oh, crap. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm
so
a basic
sorry.
Bitch. So.
That's fine. Be as basic as possible.
As mentioned earlier, again on Twitter and Instagram at @abenja1, Twitter, Instagram, co-host of the @WeAreRisingPod, martial artist. You are covering Comic-Con this weekend, Javits Center. talk me through it. How does cover an event go? Do you just post a lot of cool photos? Do you try to interview people? Like, what's your assignment, or what do you try to accomplish at an event like Comic-Con?
Well, actually, I will be legitimately covering. I'll be talking to some of the, I guess, guests or celebrities there. I'm talking to the guy, Brian. Well, oh my God, I'm forgetting the guy who I'm supposed to interview. Brian something, but he...
You'll know by Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Actually, by Thursday, I'm going all 4 days.
Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. And he created the Toys That Made Us and the movie, the Made Us things on Netflix. You ever see those? The Toys That Made Us and the movies that made us, or the TV shows that made us?
I'm sure it's extremely popular.
It's a nostalgia thing. One of those nostalgia things where they interview people like, oh, you know, I love this 80s show, and then clip and all that stuff. So, it's that. Taking pictures of cosplayers. Going to some after parties and screenings, and yeah, that's basically nice. And cutting in front of people to play the video games first.
Did you play I'm gonna butcher this name, you probably know, Ghost of
Tsushima?
Is it like the best game ever?
A lot of people love it. I've unfortunately not played it. I have like 500 games on like my backlog.
More than me. Wow. I'm like 15 games. Wow.
Oh yes. Yeah. So I'm looking at my collection now. I'm getting overwhelmed already just looking at it, of like the games I need to play. But yeah, unfortunately I've not played that yet.
I'm trying to chop down the tree. I got like, I'm playing all circa 2015 games. Arkham Knight. Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay, that one's great. That one's a good one.
I'm waiting for the price to drop on the Spider-Man. Just came to PC, which is excellent. Will the Wolverine be on display there?
Wolverine? Oh, you mean so the recent thing that they just announced?
Is it Insomniac or Activision? Somebody's doing
I don't
next
think
gen
so.
Wolverine.
Good question. I don't know. They list all this stuff on the website, but I'm always too lazy to just look it up. So I'll see when I get there. I'll see what I would have to assume, especially because of the Marvel thing. It definitely should be. Yeah.
I love your honesty. And did you hear about, I assume you're a big anime fan or no?
Somewhat. Not the weird stuff, like normal anime stuff.
Just the porn.
Yeah. Oh yes. No, that's what I meant by normal stuff. The porn.
That's it. I tuned in for the Animatrix. I'm a huge Matrix guy. I was let down with the fourth one. Yeah.
Yeah,
Hope they at least make a video game to make it up to us. They teased us with that Unreal Engine 5 demo presentation, but I saw that Splinter Cell. I don't know if this is like a year ago. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but Splinter Cell is doing an animated series for Netflix. Any news or?
I have not heard. I know there's a new Splinter Cell that's coming out, and the creator said that. I think like two years from now or something, but the creator said that they're going to update it for modern sensibilities, which usually translates to going to make it dog shit and we're going to make it politically correct. I don't want to go on a rant about that on an MMA podcast, but usually that's not a good sign. Is Netflix you said animated or live action?
Anime.
Oh, okay. That sounds interesting. Netflix's anime stuff has been better than their live action TV shows. Resident Evil was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm glad I passed that.
And then, yeah, their live action Death Note was terrible, but Castlevania and Arcane were pretty good. So, hey, if it works, it works. I'm happy, you know, but then again, I don't have a Netflix subscription. I canceled it a few months ago. So, but if it's good, you know, maybe I'll come back. Maybe I'll come back to Netflix.
And do you have any suggestion for anime show that I should see? I like ninjas, samurais, martial artists.
Oh,
come on.
Are you watching Demon Slayer?
Is that okay? So Demon Slayer?
Demon Slayer is probably the best anime right now, in my personal opinion.
Okay. I'll check it. Netflix.
The first season should still be on Netflix, and the second season is on Crunchyroll, which you can easily, if you've never signed up for Crunchyroll, just do the I think it's 3-day free trial or something, and you can just watch the 8 episodes from the second season.
Okay. Andrew Breakin Benjamin at ABENJA1 on Twitter and Instagram. It says on your profile, rapper, poet. Are you serious about music?
No, that's an end joke that I just never have changed from like my friends. It's a long story that I cannot get into 2 minutes as I'm looking at the timer. It's a long, long story.
I had a whole, I was going to play some music and we were going to have to freestyle against each other. You can freestyle if you want.
I'll do a bop. I'll do a head bop.
Okay.
I'll do a head bop.
We got AB going to NYC, or he already lives there. So just listen to me. I'm trying to make sense of all this. He's going to Comic-Con for business. He's going to take some pics, interview some chicks that are famous. He also trains like he's nameless. Because a nameless person trains a lot. You know what I mean? And I didn't even smoke any pot.
That was funny.
Maybe Andrew did. All right. What's left for you, man? When can we get the next We Are Rising pod?
I'm uploading some interview. Well, I uploaded an interview today with kickboxer Cozy, who was in the co-main event taking on Floyd Mayweather's bodyguard, which is hilarious. Long story, just look it up whenever you get a chance. And I got some other interviews that I'm uploading with Kota Miura, someone from MMA Gaming PC, and then a preview of Ryzen 39 and Landmark Volume 4 coming up sometime. Don't know when, but it will be in the future.
Awesome. Sounds good, brother. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being on the Octagon.
And we are back, fight fans, local fight fans will know my next two guests. They definitely know each other. They are brothers from the same mother. They are the sultans of the island. Are you guys from the island before I start making all these
No,
things?
No, from Brooklyn. Pakistan. but it's all good.
Maybe Konya.
Actually,
from the
yeah,
BK, the boys from the BK, the Brooklyn Brawlers. What's up, Issa? What's up, Mo? I really appreciate you guys. You guys have a ton of energy. I believe you guys are 2-5 or 2-4, if I remember correctly. But September 10th, Flex Fights. Issa got it done. RNC rear naked choke, TKO finish against the fence before that. Now, fast forward a couple weeks. October 8th is just a couple of days around the corner. And on the bottom screen, yeah, he's below us. But when in person, he stands above us. Mo Sultan, what's up, Mo? How you feeling, brother?
What's up, brother? Big Ike, how you doing?
Again, I am medium Ike, but we can find you on Instagram at @LOA_MSultan and your brother at Issa Sultan on Instagram. More peaceful. You guys are smart for not being on Twitter, but how'd you guys start your martial arts journey? Maybe Mo first and then Issa.
Yeah.
Definitely Mo first.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I always like, I remember watching like BJ Penn with my dad. That was actually the first fight I ended up watching. I was around 14. And I saw BJ Penn fighting. And after that, I kind of got inspired by watching that. That fight was the first MMA fight I've ever seen. I think I've seen some boxing fights before that, but I was with my dad and I saw BJ Penn fight. And it was really like motivating, inspiring to see that, you know, it was something that like I wanted to do right away. I remember even going outside. It was at my dad's job at the time, going outside and kind of shadow boxing and not knowing what I was doing, but I just had the passion for it at that point. But long story short, I started training, going to different gyms in Brooklyn, you know, throughout my teens, but I didn't really take it that serious until, you know, my early 20s. That's when I really took it serious. And I started traveling. I went to American Top Team. But throughout the times of me not necessarily taking it serious, I mean that I wasn't actively competing at that point, but I was consistently training and studying, but you know developing, you know, my craft. But around the time I went to American Top Team, or in my early 20s, I went there, I trained there, I came back, got into really good shape, went to Law MMA for a while. But throughout the time that I was training and studying, I developed a style which, you know, you come to see in my fights and Issa's fights, where we're boxing heavy, come forward pressure, you know. So I put a lot of work into studying that and also other aspects of MMA. So we have really good boxing, come forward, pressure style. You know, it's kind of like a Triple G mixed with Mike Tyson style, where we come forward, body shots, head movement, a lot of pressure. So, you know, eventually as Issa got older, when he became like 15, I started teaching him and helping him with what I learned, you know. So, and that's how he started developing. And once I was in my 20s, then I met Nazim, with, you know, everybody knows Nazim. He just got into the UFC. So, and he hooked me up with Mutant MMA and Tango, who's the head coach at Mutant MMA. And, you know, from there, the rest is history. Got fights, started knocking people out. Issa got in the game, started knocking people out. So this is where we're at, you know. So it's been a journey.
Amazing. And Issa, how did you know that this was the right path for you?
Honestly, I didn't. You know, I was in school, you know, but like, you know, there's a thing when an older brother starts something, all the younger brothers, they get into it, you know? So at first it was just, at least in this family, I got five brothers
and the Diaz's.
yeah. And it's crazy, honestly. Like I was in school, I was doing like computers and all that stuff. And then Mo, you know, he worked at a gym. He was a trainer. So he would just bring us to the gym when I turned 15. He would just bring it to the gym, gave us some fundamentals. And, you know, that developed my style. Like he said, the forward pressure, all that, you know, fighting Triple G, Mike Tyson, you know, heavy boxing style. And then, you know, MMA is where it's at right now, you know, like we have a heavy boxing style, but we've also evolved, you know. So now, like, we had that good fundamental base, and now like training with Nas and these guys, my grappling, like I got a submission victory in my last fight. So, you know, it was really just a matter of we're related. So it started like getting passed down between us. And then like when I was it was around 2019 when I first went to that gym, Mutant MMA, met Tango and all these guys, and man, they threw me right in the sharks. There's pro fighters over there, Georgie, there's some good prospects, Zach, my bro Cobra. So like, and I just jumped in with those sharks, and they were like, wow man, how long have you been doing this? And I was like, yo, I just learned from my brother. And then, you know, from there, you know, when coaches and people, pros are telling you, yo, you have something, so then I was like, yo, let's do this, you know.
Amazing. And again, we're being joined by the Sultan brothers, at Issa Sultan on Instagram, and his older brother at LOA_M Sultan. I asked you guys how we got to this point. Now, why did we get to this point? Why is martial arts, mixed martial arts, grappling, punching, fighting? Why does it fit you? Why not baseball, basketball, golf? Why are you guys like connected or magnetized by martial arts?
I think it's like our truest form of self-expression of our passion and, you know, our aggressiveness. I think it fully allows us to be ourselves in that regard, to where we can, you know, fully feel satisfied with what we're doing. And I also think it could be something divine as well, you know, something that was ordained already, that we believe God has given us, you know. And other people may have other passions, you know, soccer, baseball, but we feel like this is our outlet, and this is what makes us feel good, you know. And in many ways, it's our therapy too, you know. So it encompasses all of that, our passion, our release. So it's something that we can't live without.
That was beautiful. And Issa, how was it breaking the news to your parents that like, or I guess Mo, once Mo started, was it easier from there?
So it was definitely easier when because Mo had already like a one or two fights. So it was easier from there. My dad is very into the sport, man. He's very into the sport. He loves he himself, you know, did martial arts when he was younger. So, you know, it's a hard thing to break the news. Like, I'm going to be a fighter, like, especially my mom, you know, she's not crazy about us going into a cage and, you know, throwing leather like that. But, you know, ultimately we have very supportive parents, you know, like my mom, she'll pray for me before my fights, my dad, but they definitely believe in us. They gave us the opportunity to go and pursue what we wanted, you know. Plus, I feel like fighting makes us the best version of ourselves, whether it's spiritually, whether it's discipline, you know, it really brings out our best selves. So, you know, ultimately it came down to, we have very supportive parents, you know, which is unusual. I know a lot of people who, whose parents are like, no way, you know, they come to me with stories like, yo, you cannot do this. So we like, it's honestly humbling, you know, the amount of support we get now, like it's crazy. It's crazy. Like I have my, posters up and bodegas, and you know, it started off with just getting approval from my parents. You know, Mo's got his posters up in gyms and stuff. When it's a fight for like the Sultan brothers, everybody like goes nuts over here in Brooklyn.
You know? In our community, we're like, you know, not to come off in a bad way, but in our community, we're pretty much like local legends, you know? So it's like, everybody knows us in our whole area, you know? So it's pretty cool, you know, just like Issa's saying, you know, they put up posters, it's a lot of respect, and we're not arrogant or anything like that, but it's just, that's kind of how it is. Everybody respects fighters, especially brothers that are fighters, you know, it's pretty cool that we have that in the community.
Oh man, I just got the tinglies, man. Do you feed off that energy? Like, or is it like, oh, shit, he's like, that's some pressure, or is it like, it's like a breath of fresh air in a sense?
110 honestly, I don't even feel like that. Like I was expecting myself for my fights to be like crazy nervous, you know. So many, I get Instagram DMs from people I don't know, like, you're showing Pakistanis are strong, and you know, all this warriors, and you know, so many people. And but honestly, when I step in there, it's zen. Like I do not feel crazy pressure or anything, because my mentality is just, you know, work hard, and you know, God will take care of the rest. It's whether we win or lose is up to God, you know, like that part is already written. So what I can do is just never give up, stay true to the game, and you know, put my work in. That's what I'm looking forward to, evolving, growing. You know, anybody can go and take a fight and step in a cage, but it's what you do in there, you know. So I'm just looking to grow right now, you know. The support is crazy. So I actually, I have people like Nas, people like Mo to just keep me humble, keep me on the straight. It's so easy, bro. You're jogging and you see your posters up and you're like, well, everybody's like, what's up? And I go to the gym, even like a Crunch Fitness. We have a Crunch Fitness here. And bro, like 20 people are like, yo, what's up? Yo, what's up? Yo, and I'm a 2-0 Emmy, you know? Like, that's really like nothing that crazy.
That's like the Conor McGregor stuff. Like, you hear about this stuff, like when
hey, listen, I got work to do before Conor McGregor calling me Conor McGregor. But, you know, it's just crazy the aura we have. So, you know, I just do my best to stay focused and, you know, put on for Brooklyn, put on for Pakistan. That's it.
And you mentioned the hard work. Mo, we know how your brother did a couple of weeks ago. How's this training camp been, and what have you really focused on without giving away any game plan?
Right. So I don't think I got the chance to tell you, but basically about 15 days ago, I got injured. So I was sparring. I did 10 rounds of MMA sparring. And then right after the 10th round, we're doing a cool down, and my whole back, my lower back, the left side of my lower back completely like shut down. I couldn't stand. I had to literally go on my back and like stretch out. And people in the gym were showing me certain stretches. And then from there, it was just, my back has been messed up since. So I waited 4 to 5 days before making the decision, but I didn't want to go into the cage compromised and injured. You know, I was fighting a 3-0 guy. And I really wanted to put on a great performance. And I'm not the type to pull out of fights. I've went into fights injured before. But this is not something I could work around. Being the back is like the main, it's like the connecting, part of your body that connects with your limbs and everything, you know? And so it's like, if I can't you know, do a basic punch or a fighting stance or a kick or a sprawl without back injury and back pain, yet alone stand. It's not something that I want to go in there and have a bad performance because of. So when I, you know, it's very hard to even at the time, especially like, you know, it was hard to walk too. So I had to make that decision with my team and, you know, with my brother, with my coaches, and I had to really think about it. And I think that was a smart move right now to pull out. Unfortunately, I had to pull out of the fight. It was something that I was really looking forward to. But, you know, I got to heal up and come back stronger.
It's no joke, man. Did it seize up? What did it feel like? And like you're like crouched over, like
Yeah, it was like real bad, sharp pain. It was also like it was
hard
like
to sleep, right? I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it was hard to sleep. I tried certain things where you put like a pillow under your legs, certain things that decompress your spine. But even with that, it wasn't working. You know, it was really bad. Especially the first 10 days was horrible. Like I never had pain like that, you know, before. And it's like debilitating because you can't do anything. Your back connects everything. So it was something where it's like I can't even work around, you know. So
has it happened before? Injury.
I had a little lower back injuries here and there, like a couple of years ago, but it would go away within a day. But this was, I still have it right now. I still feel it right now. So it's just it sucks.
Maybe
man.
It's from leaning out. You're for 205?
Yeah, but I don't have a big cut. I'm not a big 205er. So I just have to cut. I had to just diet for a couple of weeks and get down for. I walk around like 217, so I have to just get down to 205. I was already near weight. I was like around 208, 209 pounds, so I was literally right there. But you know, so
keep it hot. Just keep it hot if you can, like some Tiger Balm or Icy yeah. Hot or CBD or something.
Yeah, I've been doing some heat stuff like the compression.
Was it STEM or steam, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing like warm compress, all that type of stuff, you know, like putting like a hot towel on back, certain stuff for recovery, but it just needs to run in sports, I guess. No.
All right. Well,
it sucks, man.
You looking for November, December? I'm not sure the flex. Are you looking at a different organization, Combat at the Space?
I fought for Maverick before. I fought for Dead Serious before.
Pennsylvania?
So, Pennsylvania, also New Jersey. And flex is always the option as well. So, definitely once this heals, I'm going to look into whatever's available and jump on that.
In a sense, that takes confidence to know that there's something in the future. Like right. They always say or Henry Cejudo said, sometimes it takes confidence to say stop and rest. And
It was tough because I was never in that position before where it was like, I have a fight in a week and a half and it's like, I have this injury. What do I do? You know, I can't literally even, you know, throw a punch without my back being in severe pain. So it's like, what do I do? Do I just wait? I waited as long as I could. I didn't want to do this thing where I pull out like the day before type of thing and be unprofessional. So I had to really like weigh my options out and make that decision.
Well, speedy recovery, good energy towards you.
Thank
I
you,
hope
bro.
You rest up, man. I'm really looking Appreciate forward to you. See you compete, man. You have an attitude and mentality like Mo Tyson, man. I'm
Thank
very
you, bro.
Excited to iron Mo to see you get out there in the future. Just obviously rest up. Maybe hopefully the warm weather's rolling in starting tomorrow. Maybe
right.
that will help loosen up some muscles. Issa, what about you? How are you looking forward? Do you got a November, December, January, late spring?
Yes.
You taking off for a while? What's your schedule look like?
Yeah, no. So I had talked to my manager. So the flex promoter, you know, I got 2 finishes, 2-0. So he's really like liking what I'm doing, the work I'm putting in. So my manager actually told me, you know, what we're looking at is January. There's a card, New York versus Florida, flex card. So probably in Florida. You know, obviously it's still pretty far out, so no opponents, no contract yet. But he told me that's what the flex, you know, promoter Chris, that's what he wants for me. And my teammate actually fought Cobra. He's also 2-0. He's with 2 finishes. So he likes our team, Mutant MMA. You know, we've been since the start of the year, Mutant MMA. We've finished all our fights. Me, my brother Zach, my brother Cobra. So we've all got finishes. All like Zach got a 3-second knockout. You should definitely check that out.
You said a 3-second?
Yes.
I think it was 2 seconds.
Oh, 2 seconds. My bad. Yeah, you definitely got to check this out.
You like jump off the ref?
Bro, right hook, bro. He's one of my main sparring partners. He's like one of the top amateur boxers.
Oh my gosh. Do you know his handle off the top of your head?
Zach Z_Blumberg. Z_BLUMBERG. And there should be like a reel or something of it.
He's private.
Don't worry, I'll send it to you, brother. But yeah, man, I'm training with a bunch of beasts, and you know, this opportunity opened up, this New York versus Florida card. And man,
I think the last year or last, maybe I forget, maybe it's every other. Is it in Florida this time or is it in New York?
I was told Tampa. Yeah, so I was told Florida. So
nice.
But man, that's the next thing I've heard of. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, January, February, I'm in there and I'm looking for a finish, man.
That's pretty good. Mo, you think you'll be ready in time for January?
Yeah, but the thing is, with my brother fighting, it's like we corner each other, you know. So it's so we have this thing, man, where it's like we don't fight on the same card. It's kind of our thing where it's like, kind of in a sense, like the Diaz brothers too, like they don't fight on the same card type of thing. We're in each other's corner. It's kind of war, you know. It's hard to focus on your own opponent when your brother's fighting an opponent. I look at him as an opponent too, because he's fighting my brother. So it's hard to focus, and it's a different feeling when your brother's fighting. You know, it's like you want him to perform the best he can, and you want to give as much as you can, you know, in helping him in preparation and being there. So it's important for us to corner each other and make sure we're not fighting on the same card. So,
dude, you've dropped like 3 sentiments or quotes. It's like powerful stuff, man. I really respect it.
Did he drop out of the call?
He's dropping knowledge and he's dropping out of the Zoom. No, man, that was some powerful stuff. He dropped the mic. Oh my goodness!
But it is true, man. He's a huge part of my whole fighting career, you know. Like I can't go fight without him you know, warming me up, and you know, he's just a crucial part of my career where like we got to give each other our 100% for the other brother, you know. So when I'm in the back, he gives me everything I need, from warming me up to even if I need a sip of water, you know. So, and vice versa. So we definitely give everything, because you know, imagine both of us cutting weight and both of us. So it definitely helps when you have, you know, the person guiding you right next to you, you know. So, but I'm sure Mo's a beast, man. Mo's a huge talent, you know. I'm nothing in front of Mo. He's brought me into this game, but Mo's, he's coming to finish all these guys, man. You need to see some of his fights, some more of his fights, man. He comes in there from the bell. He's lighting people up, you know, just like Tyson, man. Just like Tyson, his debut was dead serious and the dude was going crazy, you know. But that's our style. That's, we come to finish. That's our style. You know, from the second the bell rings, I'm there to finish the guy. You know, that's a part of being a martial artist too. Finishes and hopefully in UFC bonuses. That's what we're looking for, though.
One day, brother. One day.
Hey, we got a blueprint. Nas is like a brother to us. That guy's family. And, you know, he's laid it out for us. The blueprint. You do this, 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 and you're going to get to the UFC. So I'm doing everything I can, man. And I think Mo's back.
Mo, you dropped knowledge and then you dropped out.
Sorry, guys.
That was a beautiful quote. I don't know how much you heard. I was saying, I was like, dude, you said some – like 3 or 4 beautiful quotes, and then I think you dropped out and you're like, peace, like we're paying you by the minute. So
sorry about that. I don't know. I think the connections.
I wanted to ask, where do you get your mental strength from?
Do you hear me? Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah,
you got us?
Yeah. So you said where do I get mental strength?
Yeah, like where do you get the confidence from, man? You're the oldest. Like, I can understand Issa looking up and learning from you, but Did you get it from your parents? Is it just in your DNA?
I think it's something that you're born with. Hello? Sorry, man. This thing is not. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's something that I feel like you're born with some level of some gifts that this is just what I believe. I believe that, you know, God has given certain people certain things, certain attributes. But I feel like will is something that is forged under fire. So basically, I think throughout your life experience, including fighting too, in your fighting style and things you go through, it develops your will and develops your strength. And, you know, the tougher challenges that you have in life, no matter what it is, when you overcome them, I feel like it adds to the strength of your will and your mindset and your mentality. So I think that translates well into fighting too. When you overcome certain things in your life, whatever it may be, and you don't quit and you don't give up and you don't let life break you, I think you can use that type of strength and mentality and will and put that into your training and into your life.
Amazing. Growing up, did your father did you get into a school fight and he
growing up was rough. Being with 9/11 happening and growing up, it was like a lot of I was like in the third grade growing up with dealing with bullying and a lot of that stuff. Growing up as a kid, I was dealing with a lot of stuff like that as a young kid. So you kind of have to learn to defend yourself, especially dealing with a lot of I dealt with as a little kid growing up, and 9/11 happens and everybody's calling you a terrorist and this and that. And being a young kid, you have to start defending yourself. Otherwise, you're just going to be a punk. So I grew up with kind of a chip on my shoulder of look, I got to defend myself. I got to fight. I'm not going to take any more crap from people. So growing up, I developed that mentality. So, I got to a point where I started training. I started working out and basically not letting anybody mess with me and defending myself.
Wow. Wow. That's heavy, man. And it's it's pure idiocy and hate. And you've turned it into love, man. Like you've literally reversed it and countered. You did a mental martial art, and it's beautiful to see, man. That's why.
Thank you, bro.
I believe it's going to be the biggest sport in the world. No offense to soccer or football, depending on where you're from, but you got Australia, Russia, so many countries, and it's people can't look away from a fight. And now we're learning more that it's not just two people in a cage just slugging out. There's actual art to it and an expression, right, as you mentioned earlier. It's one of the stories that you're expressing, it's one of the reasons why everybody should learn martial arts, for respect, discipline, hard work, 100%. Teamwork. It's
100%. It's
beautiful sentiment, man. And
It's something that every young man should have. I really feel you shouldn't be an adult male walking around not knowing how to defend yourself. You can have all the degrees in the world, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't know how to defend yourself, you're extremely vulnerable. You have to have that aspect checked off as well. So I feel like it's a form of success for adult male to have.
Wow.
So
I agree. Like I literally just said to my brother a couple of days ago, I said, Bill Gates is not alpha. I go, I don't care what you say. Bill Gates is not alpha. I go, Joe Rogan, alpha. I go,
exactly, and
respect to Mark Zuckerberg. Did you guys see that? He's starting to who knows if it's a business thing? Who knows? Who knows?
But it's going to come out that he bought the UFC
event stuff now, but it's all right.
I heard he's doing jiu-jitsu. I heard Seth Rogen's doing jiu-jitsu. Anthony Bourdain, before he passed away, was doing jiu-jitsu. It's Joe Rogan's always suggesting it, and somebody on the Theo Vaughn podcast, they're like, man, why is every comedian doing jiu-jitsu now? And it is because of Rogan. It's it's a beautiful thinking game. You can't think about your schedule or your itinerary while somebody's trying to choke you out or punch you in the face.
That's what I meant when I said earlier, doing martial arts makes me feel like the best version of myself, so I feel like it's the same with these guys. You have their business, but when you step into that gym, no matter what's your race, no matter what problems you're having mentally, whatever, you get a release, you know, and you get to work towards something and be better at something. So, I mean, I think martial arts is already taking over the world, you know, as a sport. Yeah, it's the fastest growing sport, but, you know, just individuals, you know, competing. Look at Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy's like a movie actor, and he just did the jiu-jitsu, and he's winning gold. He's winning gold in jiu-jitsu, and, you know, he's a movie actor. But there is something to where martial arts is an uplifting thing. It gives you that discipline. It gives you something to strive towards, no matter what's going on in your life. So, yeah, man, I think it's a crucial part of existing, honestly. It makes you that. It gives you that edge, makes you that better person, you know? So 100%, I feel like everybody should have some. I'm not saying become an MMA fighter, but, you know, definitely have something you can work towards, because it's more than just competing. It's like the discipline, the mindset, the confidence it gives you. You know, we've both dealt with bullying. We're from Brooklyn, man. You bump into somebody wrong, you get, you know, into a fight, you know? So, yeah. You know, so wow. Definitely, it's definitely martial arts will change people's lives. I think that's why we're seeing such a uprise in it, you know. But yeah,
you guys are changing your lives and laying the groundwork for your family and spinning it forward. When I met you guys around the beautiful event on September 10th at Flex Fight, when Issa had the beautiful performance and your guys' energy was just blowing up the building. in Melville, it was literally like there was no service in that place. You guys like were like your heart was, I don't know, I could feel a connection there. Your guys' little brother is training as well, right?
Yeah, so we have there's a total of 5 of us, and so it's me, it's Issa, then we have another brother that's he just turned 20, and he's up and coming too. Like he trains with us at Mewin MMA, and he's a good prospect. He's gonna fight soon too. Within, you know, 6 months, he'll have his first fight. He's a good lefty, man. He's exciting. He has that same style that we have, come forward style. The same way, I was showing Issa and teaching Issa as he was a young kid. The same amount of energy that I put into that, I'm putting into Musa as well. So he's gonna come up. Look out for him too. In like 6 months to a year, he should be knocking some people dead. You know.
Now you guys, I said hi, shook his hand, very modest, very soft spoken. Maybe that says in public, but he's into it. Like it's not hard to, like, you guys are, I don't know, you would be tough older brothers, in my opinion. Like I don't know, you would think like the third, you'd be like, guys, I just want to play the violin, like, but he's training and he's kicking ass,
man. Yeah, man.
Nah, like that's what I said earlier. I think there's something with you know, older brothers. When an older brother is into something and you see him be great at something, you strive right behind him, you know. Like when I'm sparring, I know my brother expects something from me, a certain performance, even if it's just sparring, you know. He expects a certain level of performance from me in whatever I do. So, you know, that's what I have to live up to, you know. So I feel like that gets passed down, where you have to hold a certain standard as Sultan, you know, or in anything, you know. I have cousins and all 3 of them are into cinematography and all that. Like they actually shot a documentary for me for my first fight. So,
yo, plug it. Where can we find it?
YouTube. You just type in Issa Sultan MMA and it should pop up. It might be private right now because we had it privated for before my fight, but we'll open it back up.
Yeah, they made me a documentary too. So there's like 2 documentaries, one for me and one for Issa.
Yeah, Mo should be up there right now.
Yeah,
on YouTube. But yeah, man, that's just part of it, you know. I feel like the younger brother always wants to follow the older brother, live you know, up to that standard. Up to that standard where it's,
is
like,
he a hard negotiator? Is he like, hey, if you get me a documentary, I'll start training more?
Man, documentaries are earned. Documentaries are earned.
I like that.
But no, definitely. We all have a pretty good head on, you know, head screwed on tight. You know, we all work, you know, my brother's done his things. He's won his fights, but that doesn't make me win fights. You know, I have to put in my own work. I have to, you know, earn it. And I feel like we all have that mentality, you know, where we want to go be great, you know, and, you know, our parents saw that in us as well. And, you know, we're hoping for the best.
We got about 30 seconds, guys. The time flew by. I really appreciate the energy.
Big guy, big guy. You're the man, big guy.
Medium, Mike. Medium. Mike. You're Big Mo.
You're the man, brother.
Issa, you're medium?
right now I am. I had five guys in stock.
I told you guys would like it. Andrew, Issa, Mo, I love you guys. Thank you for joining me. Literally, these three guests I've had amazing energy with in person. Met all three in person. Exchanged Instas, IG, the Gram fam, and connected through an interview. Did a Zoom. It's in the books. It's on YouTube. There is record of it. Thank you guys for joining me. I really appreciate you guys. Keep doing what you're doing, okay? Because it's keeping me going. It's your energy is giving me energy. Trying to think. There had to be, maybe there was a superhero. I think it was Rogue in X-Men who would steal the energy. So I'm Rogue. Maybe I'll get a white streak in my hair. But I love you guys. Thank you everybody for downloading, retweeting, clicking, favoriting, sharing, everything. You guys keep the train moving and we move forward because it is fight week for your boy, Ike Feldman. Gleason's Boxing Gym, cornered by Justin, Kid Marvelous, Montavo, Tom Fitzsimmons. He's got to come up with a nickname if he doesn't have it. If he does have it, I don't know it. That's my bad. But I'm very excited to step back into the ring of combat. I love you guys. Peace.